This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
Welcome, history lovers. Welcome, one and all. It's This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert with you. Armand Kachigian alongside. Today we bring you the events, the births, the deaths that have all occurred throughout the annals of time on the 24th of February. And we're brought to you, of course, by Amazon.com and Audible.com. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our program at iTunes. Andrew, what's the new name?
Apple Podcast.
Apple Podcast. Armand, they're evolving.
I don't like it.
You just got familiar with iTunes. Now they change it to Apple Podcast. By the time you remember that you're on Apple Podcast, it'll be changed again.
You know how long it took me to remember Spotify?
Oh, I'm going to say at least 6 years.
Hey, listen, is Roku any good?
No.
That stock is getting murdered today.
It should. It sucks. Right.
Ooh.
Andrew, give us a... It's awful.
Yeah, you guys are the same ones that Chipotle 45 points ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you sold as it went up.
Yeah, I had to. I sold options against it. I made $3,000 on it.
And we're happy for you.
Yeah, and you're wrong again.
But no, that thing is going to be dead in the water within a year or two. There's one more salmonella outbreak.
Not with that Taco Bell guy in charge.
Well, that might save him. He knows how to sell some grade D meat.
He's doing the right thing. Put some Doritos and everything, and sales will skyrocket.
Remember when the answer was put cheese and bacon on everything?
That's a good one, too. And fry it. Even Twinkies.
Now we've reached the point where it's...
put crunchy stuff.
Put more salsa and spicy shit on it.
Put, what are those orange things? Cheetos? Those are good in a taco.
That's in the Oval Office.
Uh-oh. Here he starts already.
No, I'm going to get it. You're gonna go off on global warming every day. I'm going to go off on your...
No, on
your Cheeto and
that's
Chief.
Science. Yours is
Cheeto
strictly opinion.
Yeah. All right. Now, again, subscribe through Apple Podcast. Come on.
What?
Steve. Is it Steve? It's not Steve Jobs anymore. No. Tim Cook?
Hey, it's his birthday,
is that
right?
Tim Cook?
Isn't it his birthday?
It is.
Tim Cook,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's still iTunes, but it's Apple Podcast. Yeah. You can also get
Steve
there through.
Steve Jobs was the last
Stitcher.
Non-gay.
Podbean.
CEO of
and,
Apple.
And follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. And, of course, on Twitter, history_podcast, and Instagram.
How about Snap?
I don't do Snap. We don't do Snap, Armand. Although I think we
made Ocho Man some money.
Good. All right, the events today. Well, we got persecuted Christians, Armand. We got them. We got them in 303 A.D.
I thought this was wrong. This guy actually wasn't that big of a persecutor.
Yeah. Well, Galerius. Galerius?
Yeah.
See, I tried to go two syllables. You tried to go three. Galerius publishes an edict. See, whenever you got an edict coming, something bad's going to happen. And that edict begins... at least in his little corner of the Roman Empire, the persecution of Christians.
Well, that doesn't begin it as far as I'm concerned. Well, I think Diocletian was the one that was really the persecutor. This guy actually, a few days before he died, changed over.
He recanted?
Yeah.
Like, he had an epiphany?
Hey, pray for me, everybody. But he still died in agony of gangrene. So, I like him. He's a hypocrite. So anyway, I think he gave the Edict of Toleration of 311. So that was several years later. I think Diocletian was the one that was really giving the Christians a bad time. And I think
Galerius only's got a little corner of the Roman Empire. It's not like he's got the Roman Colosseum at his disposal.
No, Diocletian was in charge.
Diocletian's got the big house.
Right.
He can put on the big shows.
He's the one that feeds them to the lions.
That's right. 1303, Armand. The Scots try for their independence for the first time at the Battle of Roslyn.
I looked this up. Not a very significant battle, apparently.
But they tried for the first time. That's what's significant.
Well, they should have just given up after this.
Well, they kept trying, though, didn't they? Boy, oh boy. 1582, another edict, this time in the form of a papal bull.
Yeah.
Gravissimus.
Right. Inter gravissimus.
Yeah, inter gravissimus. Issued by Pope Gregory VIII. And this is important, folks. Take note. Because it announces the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah, which was not adopted in England until 1751, I believe.
Mm-hmm. What day is it, really?
Remember, everybody was pissed off because they lost 11 days?
They lost 11 days.
Took it away from them.
Yeah. What day do you think it is, really?
What do you mean?
We don't know what...
Who cares?
Dates are arbitrary.
It's 13.85... Well, not for us. It'd be 4.532 billion years. That's what day it is.
Yeah. If you could pick a day that the Earth actually began, what would you say it is?
Well, Bishop Ushers told you what day it began. October 23rd, 4004.
What happened October 22nd?
Nothing.
Well, then how was there on October 22nd?
God wept. No, that's it. That was the day of the, he did it. You know, he went through all the...
He went through the whole Old Testament and worked it back, did he?
Right. Yeah. All the prophets and all that stuff. And he came up with it. I think he had time for it, too.
Interesting exercise, but ultimately a waste of time.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's right.
No, he's not.
More things under the sun.
We're not 4,000.
Known to your philosophy.
We're not 4,000 years old. We're not.
I'd like to be.
I don't want you around in 4,000 years. No.
Right.
Not at all. 1607.
You asked. I told you.
No, I mean, like, is it the
Mayan calendar?
Is it the day?
Israeli calendar, Jewish calendar.
Is it the day that the earth spins in a rotation of approximately 24 hours and is on the orbital path we're on now? I mean, because it's a bunch of rocks colliding together. So when did we actually start?
I don't know. When the protoplanetary disk coalesced. How's that?
Give me a date on that and I'll buy it.
4004 BC.
No. 1607, Monteverde. First name was Claudio. I never knew that, Armand. Mm-hmm. Well,
I don't buy this. This isn't correct.
I was going to ask you about
not
this.
Right.
Because it states that his L'Orfeo...
Oh, it says one of the first. It's not.
Is
L'Orfeo.
One of the first recognized operas, and it gets its premier performance. That's all fine and well.
If anybody asks this on trivia contents, it's Daphne by Jacopo Peri. P-E-R-I, I believe, is Peri.
Jacopo?
Yeah, Jacopo Peri, or is it Pieri?
And the opera is Daphne.
Daphne, first opera.
Do you have a year approximately on?
Before this.
Before 1607?
Yeah, not too much longer. I think it was in the 16th century.
Okay. 1803, this one's going to get Armand going, folks. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. February the 24th.
This is the beginning of the end of civilization.
1803, the United States Supreme Court establishes the principle.
Bad.
Coming off the case of Marbury versus Madison.
Marbury versus Madison. The worst judicial.
The principle that's established is that of judicial review.
And we've had nothing but trouble ever since. Thank you, John Marshall. Thank you, Alexander Hamilton. You know, Jefferson was totally against this. Here again, we've discussed this. Why six at the time, I guess nine now, robed wraiths can tell everybody, you know, that was the whole point of having three branches of government. Each branch of government can determine what is legal and what is not. They have their own judgments. This left it up to unelected, unrestricted, unregulated lawyers.
No, I hear what you're saying, because the judicial branch can tell the legislative branch. Nope.
Yeah.
They can tell the executive branch.
Too.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. Well, where's our separation of powers?
So let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Just hypothetically, what if the legislative branch came out with something completely, completely insane?
Well, I think
mandatory drug testing for all goldfish.
As if we wouldn't do that, and we haven't done that.
Well, it's a, you know. What if they came out with some old weird thing like a Lyndon LaRouche type policy?
Well, what people usually say is, what about slavery? But that, of course, was condoned by the federal government, so that's not a really good example.
Not in the framework of that. It's not a good example.
Well, you leave it to the states. You're also taking power away from the states, which was not intended by the founding fathers. Certainly not by Madison.
What if a state comes out with something that... You know,
like what?
Let's see.
Like gun control or mandatory guns. You have to carry guns.
No. Something just going against a basic human right. That's why I asked you the other
day. Well, the states also have their own courts.
If you believed in a basic human right.
But does it run contrary to the Constitution? That's all these guys are supposed to interpret, the Constitution. If you want to feed goldfish mercury and you have to or whatever, I don't know what you're talking about. That has nothing.
I'm just trying to think of a crazy example.
The Constitution says nothing about But the Constitution says nothing about that. Ergo, it's left to the states.
Okay.
Tenth Amendment.
What if you
These
wanted?
Guys have nothing
what
to say
if you
about
wanted
it.
To deny one race of
That's in the Constitution. I don't think you can do that. You can't deny that.
Okay.
I mean, the 13th Amendment.
What if you wanted to deny a? But see, the 13th Amendment wasn't around.
Okay.
At the time of judicial review.
Yeah, but that's not what's on. Yeah, but this is Marbury versus Madison. It's not about that. That's about some guy trying to be Secretary of State. I think
right.
is what he was all about.
Right. Well, and the Madison
or judge. I think
the Madison
trying to be a judge.
In this is. Indeed. Am I right? This is James Madison. Madison. Right.
Well, yeah, because Marbury was elected as a or appointed as a one of these midnight judges. I believe, I don't know who did, was it Adams? I think Adams appointed him.
Mm-hmm.
So, hell with that. You're not going to get the job, whatever.
What if a state came out and said, you know, because race, religion, creed, what if a state just came out and said, we're banning Mormons?
Banning Mormons from doing what?
Just from existing. Either get out of
contrary to the Constitution,
okay.
too.
So they're okay.
Let's give you another one.
Like, okay,
what about a state
that.
Saying you can't smoke in a bar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why should the Supreme Court have any jurisdiction over that? That's a pretty broad, you know. That's,
yeah, yeah. I'm thinking,
I don't think this. I don't think Supreme that should go to the Supreme Court.
I'm thinking in the context here.
If the state legislature okays it,
okay,
I think
smoking
it's okay.
in bars,
okay or not okay, whatever. Or the baker with the, you know, that won't give, you know, the two grooms on his cake.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a federal, that has nothing to do with the Constitution. That should be a state issue. And if the Senate, what's more pressing would be, what if the Senate passes a law?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't care how crazy it is. Should it be subject to review by the judiciary? If it has nothing, you know, why can't the judiciary say when we declared war? We declared war on Germany. Okay, the Senate okayed it. How come the judiciary can't review that?
Did they need to?
Of course not. But that's a very important thing. Is it legal to declare war in a country that didn't attack you? I don't know. Pretty crazy to me. Japan's one thing. We didn't, of course, declare war on Germany. They declared war on us. But what if they did? Just because they're allies of somebody we're fighting.
This is the best you've ever made this argument to me, by the way, in terms of your framing of it.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just saying it's ridiculous on the face of it. Who is the most powerful man in this country now? Kennedy. Justice Kennedy.
Yeah, you've said that before. Whoever is the Chief
the
Justice
vote.
Of the Supreme Court who can swing
not
the court.
Right, not the Chief Justice. It's 4-4. Now, when Ginsburg or somebody dies
right.
or quits,
right.
then it's going to be different. But right now, it's 4-4, and Kennedy has all the power in the world, basically.
Why do you say it's 4-4? Oh, just because of the split?
4 liberals, 4 conservatives,
and
theoretically.
And one.
Even though Roberts on Obamacare.
He threw you for a loop on that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
You didn't see that one coming, did you,
Armand? I got one thing to say to him. Et tu, Brute. That was the end of my medical career.
1831, the Treaty of Dancing Rabbit Creek.
I never heard of it.
I had not either, so I had to look into it.
Okay, well, you talk about it.
It's basically the first removal treaty.
All right. I had a feeling somebody. It didn't go well for our Native Americans.
Under the Indian Removal Act.
What year is this?
1831.
And
this is moving the Choctaw Indians, who had been in Mississippi in that part of the southeastern United States. I looked at a map, an indigenous Native American map the other day. Boy, the Cherokees.
Indigenous, not indigent.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
often confused.
The Cherokee Nation was.
Choctaw, Chickasaw, Creek,
mm-hmm.
Cherokee.
Fox?
No, I don't think so. It was Seminole.
There you go. Yeah, the five.
I think some of them include Tuscarora in that, too.
Well, I
think throw them in there,
definitely
too.
The map I saw would have included Tuscarora.
Usually five, but if it's right. six, something.
So the Cherokee sovereign
was really
quite a big nation.
Yeah, well, that's why they had to get the hell out.
You know, I always thought of it as, you know, parts
of plant cotton, man.
Of Georgia, North Carolina. But it really.
No, it was bigger than that. Florida.
It really stretches. Yeah. So this is moving the Choctaws from Mississippi, the land that they cede east of the Mississippi River. They move them west in exchange for payment. And, of course, they get land in the west. And you know what the shell game
What's
that happens from here.
What's the largest state east of the Mississippi?
The largest state east of the
land
Mississippi?
Land area.
I know Georgia's bigger than Illinois.
Well, it is Georgia, but on the map, it sure looks like Florida's bigger than Georgia.
It's because that panhandle, so it adds a lot to it. You know what I mean?
I don't know. It looks like it's bigger land, but anyway.
Yeah.
Georgia is.
Because Georgia's a big state, especially if you ever had to drive from Chattanooga to down to Valdosta. God, does that take forever. You ever been to Florida?
Yeah, I lived in Miami.
Okay.
2 years.
But you ever drive to Florida?
I drove 20 hours.
Remember? Oh, God.
Straight through. From Miami right up here to St. Louis.
They have interstates back then when you drove?
No. It was a Conestoga wagon.
Oh, okay. Good. 1854, the first perforated postage stamp is issued.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't know that.
It's called a penny red. So 1854, I guess before that, stamps were just,
Non-perforated. Straight edge.
Someone realized, hey, you know what? We could just make a whole sheet of these, let people break them off.
I wonder if Teddy Roosevelt had one of these. He's a big stamp collector.
Can you explain something to me?
I can explain many things to you, but you won't listen.
Stamp collecting?
Philately.
That's what that's called?
Yes.
Philately.
Yeah, philatelist. Huh. Yeah.
Okay. What's the deal with philatelists?
Don't ask me, man. I mean, I never collected stamps.
Really? I mean, you want to collect tiny little pieces of paper?
I collect blondes.
Whew. I guess to each his own hobby, right? 1868.
Chaco en son goût, the French say.
The first impeachment of a United States president occurs. Andrew Johnson, impeached by the House of Representatives. Of course, he's later acquitted.
Yeah.
And he would lose the election in November of 68. Well, he wasn't.
That was one of those profiles in Courage that Kennedy ghostwrote didn't write about.
He didn't write.
His ghostwriter. Ghostwriter wrote
Was that
about.
Ted Sorensen?
Ghostwriter as, what's his name, Johnny Blaze? The ghostwriter.
The ghostwriter.
That's portrayed by Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God.
Anyway, ghostwriter. Profiles in Courage talks about that one guy that didn't vote and saved Johnson.
Yeah.
I think we'd have been better off if they, kicked him out, but
he
was ineffectual.
Well, he wasn't going to be president for much longer anyway.
Should have been stuck to his. He's a tailor, man. Stick to your last.
You know,
his wife taught him how to read.
And he only got to be vice president because of a political maneuver to get Hannibal Hamlin out because they needed Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because of the war. Because
I think he went back to the Senate in Tennessee. I think he went back
Johnson?
To Johnson. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He served. It wasn't the
end
of...
What the hell, man? This guy can't get enough.
Wasn't the end of his political life.
No.
Yeah, I'll have some more. Yeek. Wow. 1917, Walter Hines Page, if you've ever heard this name, he's the U.S. ambassador to the United Kingdom. So we're in 1917, folks. The United States is not in a war. The United Kingdom is.
Because Woodrow Wilson, he kept us out of war.
Yes. But Walter Hines Page is given something. And what he's given... is a beyond salacious bit of info. He's given information stating that Germany is working with Mexico and pledging to Mexico to ensure the return of New Mexico, Texas, and Arizona to Mexico if Mexico will declare war on the United States. This is better known as the Zimmerman Telegram.
Which,
as history has shown us, is proven to be...
I don't know if it is. I'm not sure. I've read conflicting. I don't know. Is
history shown us to be
phony? I want to see that.
Is it phony or is it debatable?
At the time, but I thought they verified it because Zimmerman admitted it. So I don't know what your sources are.
Did he have any real authority?
Well, I don't know about that, but I mean, he wrote it. Now, whether, actually the Kaiser said, okay, do it.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Not that this isn't going to happen anyway, so it's ridiculous on the face of it.
What do you think?
Wilson used it as another,
certainly did
pry bar to get us in the
country. I know
war.
You hate Woodrow Wilson, and I'm not going to necessarily back you up on everything, but yes, he did use this.
Sure,
this was one of the smoking guns he needed.
It still didn't really help, though. I mean, nobody at that point. Irish still hated the British. The Germans, of course. I mean, the Irish Americans and German Americans,
yes.
Which there were many, and a lot of people just didn't want to get in this damn war.
No.
That's why he got elected, reelected.
This is the age, by the way, when a lot of Germans started to sort of anglicize their last names.
Well, this is the age where a lot of Germans stopped speaking German because you get thrown in jail for it.
And
it's crazy, man, in this country.
And, again, as I always say, full disclosure, we do this show in suburban St. Louis.
We do?
Yeah. I call this, we're in suburban St. Louis.
We're in suburban Chicago.
Though, Well, that too. That too.
It's more cosmopolitan.
A lot of 100 years ago in this area, a lot of the schools, the primary language was German.
Yeah, there's a lot of Dutch around here too.
A lot of Dutch as well. As a matter of fact, they're called the scrubby Dutch. Did you ever hear that term?
No. What's that come from?
Because the women would literally go out with a pail and a wash.
Scrub
the sidewalk and the front porch.
Oh.
I mean, glistening, clean neighborhoods. But back to the story at hand. If you're Mexico and you let's say the offer is real and legit and everything, right? Okay. You got to go, wait a second. You're going to give us three states?
Well, they're already pissed off. You know, they got Villa down there, killing people in New Mexico.
They couldn't have possibly imagined that was going to work.
I don't know about that. Oh, who was in charge? Was it Carranza? I don't know who that was. I was just watching Viva Zapata the other night.
Mm. John Steinbeck did screenplay, mm-hmm. right?
Anthony Quinn won the Academy Award.
Yep.
Which was interesting because he took Marlon Brando's place. He was doing Streetcar Named Desire.
Yes.
Yeah.
On
when Brando
Broadway.
Went to Hollywood. Yeah. He took over. And he always thought that now get the load of this. I don't know. This sounds apocryphal to me.
Streetcar's a Tennessee Williams.
Yeah.
Right?
Of course. I have always relied on the kindness of strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blanche DuBois. I played Stanley once.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought you said you played Blanche. Then we have a story.
Well, that too. No, I was Stella. Anyway, I had a haul Stella. Stella was about your size.
Oh,
and
no.
I had to pick her up.
Oh, no.
Boy, that was when I was in shape. So anyway, what was I going to say?
I don't know how we got on the streetcar named Desire
well,
from the
Anthony
Zimmerman
Quinn.
Telegram.
Anthony Quinn. Well, we're talking about Pancho Villa and Carranza
right.
And all this stuff.
I'm talking about how could the Mexican government even believe they were going to get three U.S. states back?
Things haven't changed much in politics. This is the dossier of 1917.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anthony Quinn thought that he should play Zapata. And I guess...
Did the Zimmerman telegram say anything about Quinn playing Zapata?
No, it had nothing to do... Well, maybe. Okay. I don't... You think it's all forgery anyway. But so they had a contest, apparently, who could piss the farthest into the Rio Grande. And I guess Brando won.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he do it from a cliff or a bridge?
A bridge.
So, okay, when we drive out west, we always have this spot when you cross over into Utah on Route 70, there's a rest area. And every time we go, we stop.
And piss?
And take a piss off the cliff. If the wind's got to be blowing the right way, because if the wind's going the other, you can't do it.
And what are you doing?
Take a
pissing
leap off
into the wind?
No. Oh. You got to make sure it's with the wind so you can get a good stream and arc out there.
Now, that reminds me.
I've done it three times, and I'm amazed at the distance you can get sometimes.
Well, that reminds me of Lord Byron's little epitaph for Castlereagh.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, keep going.
All right. All right, enough of the Zimmerman telegram.
Yeah. Anyway, we went to war.
1920, this is the date that the Nazi Party is founded. It's not the date that Adolf Hitler founds.
There you go. This is the beginning of the world, right?
The Nazi Party. But this is the date that it's founded. And the same day in 1920, Nancy Astor will become the first woman
ever to speak.
Lady Astor, yes, indeed. She will become the first woman to speak in the House of Commons following her election as an MP 3 months earlier.
Oh, here we go. Here it is. This is Lord Byron's epitaph to Castlereagh, who was the British foreign minister, foreign secretary, I guess. He was at, this is like 1815. He was there at the Congress of Vienna and everything. Apparently, listen to this. Posterity will ne'er survey a nobler grave than this. Here lie the bones of Castlereagh. Stop, traveler, and piss. Isn't that great? I always liked that. He didn't like Castlereagh.
No, and he made it clear.
Isn't that great?
They say
like Lord Byron.
They
man.
Say poetry is in, you have to interpret and look for
the symbolism in that one.
Not for this one. Yeah. No, this is direct.
I tell you, Byron didn't mess around, man. It was bad, mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
Okay,
but what were we talking about?
Well, Nancy Astor.
Oh,
Lady
I got a couple
Astor.
Quotes by her. I married beneath me. All women do.
All women do.
And then,
it's so true in so many ways.
And she was the one that, she was the one that Churchill stood up and, and they were having some problem at the, during when they were both MPs and in Parliament and something. And she said, Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, I'd poison your tea. And Churchill said, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. Which was not bad. And then she got him.
You got to admit, though, she laid a softball up there for Winston.
Well, he laid one because he was wondering there was a party. It was some kind of costume party, and Winston was wondering, how do I have an original costume? He said, Winston, why don't you come sober? So she got him a few times, too. Yeah, he was wondering how you go there and not be recognized or whatever. Yeah, coming sober. So she was a tough gal, man.
Again,
Nancy. I think her real name was Nancy Langhorne.
Some of the best television you can watch.
She's born like North Carolina. She's a Southern Belle.
The whole reason C-SPAN should exist is just to televise the British House of Commons.
Hey, we'll take care of it. That's the other thing I object to, and CNN, Fox, are you telling me the only news in the world, at least the BBC? I got to admit. You get the world news.
Oh, you get it all.
Every day, the same shit over and over and over
again. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
I want to know what's going on everywhere.
I know you do.
Damn.
The American news media is not selling news anymore. They're selling narrative.
I think the narrative on what's going on somewhere else.
But you can't. Because you can't. Because
you can't put a spin on what's going on in Zambia.
Exactly. It's the old adage, play the hits.
Damn.
Okay. It's the old adage, play the hits.
Don't you think like half an hour out of the, every once in a while you have a story?
One of the greatest things that could happen in America right now is for 24-hour news cycles to go away. Let's go back to an hour at 6, maybe another hour.
That would make any difference.
At 10. Yeah, no, but when you're selling narrative, you have to drag the audience along.
Yeah, well, you would think.
So I have to ask you things like, and I've heard anchors do this on all networks.
Well, okay. That's what I'm saying. Fox is the same.
MSNBC.
You know me, I watch Fox.
CNN.
Right.
Okay.
But every time I go in there, CNN's playing something about Trump.
I know
Fox has the same thing. They're playing something about Pelosi or something.
I know you don't know the answer.
About
I know you
shit.
Don't, because I've heard anchors at the desk say, I know you don't know the answer to this, essentially, but please give us your speculation.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's what it all is. It's one big editorial.
It's commentary. So if you, again.
Like those 29 people I told you were killed in China with a knife. I want to know what happened.
Heard a thing.
What's that all about?
Haven't heard a thing about it.
Yeah. Knife attack.
Although I will tell you
crazy,
this.
Man.
More and more I have to go to really. I liked Al Jazeera USA when it was on.
I don't know what you read online. I go to Washington Times. I don't even go. I just go to World.
I don't like the Washington Times.
Well, whatever. But go, if the, I don't know, I guess a Post. Do they have somewhere you can go World Poly or, World News?
Yeah, they do.
That's what I go to. I go to World News.
I tend to go to English papers.
All right.
The Guardian, The Independent. Now, some of these are owned by Murdoch as well, but you'd never know it.
That's good.
And you can.
Who is Murdoch's lawyer?
Read the South China Daily. That's the world's largest English language paper. There's another one in India as
anything.
Well.
I'm just on TV every
those.
Time. You don't get anything.
Armand, that's what I come from the media background. You know that. When you're selling narrative, you have to drag them along.
I can't imagine people watching that, though, over. Who wants to watch that? Get sick.
Okay.
15 minutes?
Some people who will leave it on 24 hours. Did your grandmother ever used to leave the big AM radio station in the market on?
Okay, my dad still does.
Same thing. Basically,
have different things.
For
at
us,
least in St.
at
Louis.
Least it was different, right? But for us, some people left KMOX, a 50,000 watt AM radio station, clear, one of the clear channel blowtorches that you can pick up, used to be able to pick up all over the country.
Setting the ionosphere aflame.
Exactly. And my grandparents left it on. It was on all the time. The radio was never off. They never turned the dial. If you walk into some American households today, Fox News is on that television set 24 hours a day.
Look at our office. What's on 24 hours? I walk in there. I know it's CNN.
It changes all the time.
Thank you.
It actually does.
Jeez.
I'd rather watch
MSNBC a little bit. Change something.
Well, we also play a game, turn on Fox, and see how long it takes to mention Clinton. The average is around 30 seconds. Where are we at? Okay.
Well, we hate her.
Birthdays. Today. February the 24th.
Right. You missed a couple right off the bat. 1500, for God's sake.
Who?
Charles V, man.
Okay.
This guy's most powerful. This was a guy who had the first empire on which the sun never set. Well, this guy was like Holy Roman Emperor,
yep.
Kingdom of Italy,
yep.
Archduke of Austria.
That's nice.
Netherlands.
Yes.
He had all those possessions.
So far, you're just naming Europe. What
well,
else
those,
did
yeah,
he?
They all their possessions. Netherlands had a lot of possessions everywhere.
That's true. They did.
Boy, so anyway, he fought with the French, kicked their asses, captured Francis the First.
400 years ago, if you told the Dutch they were just going to be basically confined to the lowlands.
No, if you told the Dutch they weren't going to make the World Cup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would have been
400
man.
Years ago, they wouldn't have known about soccer.
True.
Let's just go 40 years ago.
Making
and
a
say
joke.
In 2018, you're not going to make the World Cup.
Yeah, boy, that's bad.
I'm telling you.
No orange.
Johan Cruyff is rolling over in his grave about this one.
Yeah, I'm glad
I'm
wasn't here to see it.
I'm sick. I'm you know, yeah, I'm happy that Cruyff did not have to see this.
How can that? Well, I guess. Is God it because there's so
sake.
Many more European countries now and they're
no,
tougher to get in?
I don't. I.
It's got to be something.
I don't know.
When's the last time they didn't make it? Have they ever not made it? I guess sometime.
I'm the United States not being in it is right. Okay.
That's
my
good news.
My God, the Dutch.
Anyway,
the
this
Dutch
guy,
Armand.
This guy's born 1500 and he's in the battle of the big one. What was it called? Palvia, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was 25 years later on February 24th, and that's where he wiped out Francis of France and captured him. There's nothing left but honor.
Mm.
That's what he said. And that's what pretty much gave Italy to the Habsburgs.
Ah, okay. All right.
And his son was Philip II of Spain.
When Italy was given over to the Habsburg, did all the Italians have to go and get the Habsburg
There were no Italians.
Lip?
No, there were no Italians.
Oh, okay.
There was Lombardy, Kingdom of Sicily's, Kingdom
Umbria,
of Genoa.
Tuscany.
Yeah, they hadn't brought it all together yet. We talked about that. Victor Emmanuel.
How did the name Italy derive?
Italy.
Would you look that up
for
me?
I should know that.
You know, because, you know, Toscano, Umbria.
Yeah. Etruscan.
All these great, you know, provinces with wonderful names in their own culture.
Italia.
How did we get to Italia? Italian food isn't
Latin,
Italian, by the way.
Oh, it is when I eat it.
No. Where'd they get noodles from? China.
No, man. They grow them. Remember
that? Oh, on the tree. The spaghetti tree.
Did you ever see that? Did you ever see that documentary, Dumb Shit?
What a bit. If you've never seen the spaghetti tree documentary done by, I guess it was the BBC, back in the 70s?
I'd like to see that on CNN. Have some of that stuff on there.
That was great.
The name Italia was in origin applied only to a portion of what is now Calabria, possibly from an Oscan name, Vitellio, interpreted as land of young cattle. Boy, that's fitting. It was not applied to the entire peninsula, now under Roman rule, until the 1st century BCE.
Okay.
Okay.
Land of young cattle.
Yeah, land of young ladies, young cattle with hair on their legs. Young kine. All right, there it is.
Woo.
So that's what the internet, man.
Yep.
Love that.
Right. Who else? Who else you got? 1500?
1500. And then 1842. You got one ahead of me here.
1836, the American painter and illustrator. You've probably seen his work. Yeah. Winslow Homer. I like him as an artist.
Seascapes. Pretty good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. 1842.
Okay.
Arrigo Boito.
Whoa, say again.
Arrigo Boito.
Huh. Librettist. Now, he's Italian.
He's young cattle.
Oh, good.
This guy was a librettist. He did Falstaff, Macbeth, and Simon Boccanegra operas, who was actually the first Doge of Venice. That was actually a real character. First Doge of Venice, Simon Boccanegra. Love
that name.
What is
that, the black mouth?
I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. Very good.
Yeah, the black mouth.
He also did La Gioconda for Ponchielli, which you would know by... Hello, Mutta.
Hello, Fada.
Greetings
from.
Yeah. Camp Granada.
Camp Granada?
Yeah.
Okay. Camp Granada. Oh, it's cute.
Alan
cute
Sherman.
Song.
That's a great song.
Great song.
That tune is from La Gioconda.
Oh,
it was Dance of the Hours.
Dance of the Hours.
By Ponchielli.
Oh, man.
He did the libretto.
Okay. A librettist means you just write the lyrics to the music, correct?
Right. He did the words. And then apparently he did the libretto to King Lear, but Verdi kicked off before he wrote the damn opera.
Oh.
So I think I'll just stick to the Shakespeare version.
That could have been something then.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, he was supposed to do that.
Well, that would have been a good dramatic opera. Lots of
Falstaff
lots
was
of possible
last
intrigue in that one.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll play Kent.
1874, Honus Wagner, one of the great early American baseball players and, of course, early Hall of Famer. As shortstops go, probably the best shortstop in the early 20th century.
I wish I had that baseball card.
Oh, the T10?
Yeah. Something
like that. Or T11?
Now, was that
the
true?
One that Bruce McNall and Wayne Gretzky bought?
Oh, yeah, right.
Back
Gretzky
in the 80s?
Bought it. I remember that, yeah. Because it was apparently it wasn't like Allegheny Cigarette Company or something.
Yeah, Allegheny Cigarette or
he
tobacco.
He didn't like smoking, so they only didn't make too many of them.
Right, so he was out of the program.
Yeah, but put me on these.
Right.
Things. Apparently, that's the story.
Yeah, so there's a limited number.
He's a Dutchman. Wasn't he the Flying Dutchman?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about the Dutch.
Yeah. Probably
Habsburg Lip.
Probably one of the athletes that could have played ball in any era.
I would think so.
You know,
great shorts.
Because I think he had real athleticism. I'm not sure that all the major leaguers had, major leaguers had truly great athleticism.
I think it was it the 1909 World Series where he played against Ty Cobb and they both sucked? You know,
they both had a bad series.
It was like the match between him and Cobb. And, you know, I just read a great article about Cobb. Said all this bullshit about him.
It's largely bullshit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes,
I do. He was a nice guy.
Well, he liked to play the...
Well, listen, Nick, the ugliest man in Hollywood plays you, so that's kind of tainted.
Ty liked playing the heel. There's an advantage to it.
Yeah, but he was a nice guy.
Hey, when you're running down to second base and about to slide,
wasn't a racist,
right? And about to slide into the base.
Yeah.
Do you want the second baseman real confident and sure-footed, or do you want him skittish?
I get it, but he didn't sharpen his spikes. I mean, they make him
doesn't
this guy
matter.
Have to be like
all you have to do
Vlad
is,
Dracula.
All
here.
You have to do is get it out there that you have sharpened your spikes.
I'd rather be like Pete Rose and just tear him out, man. Tackle the son of a bitch.
But see, back in the reserve clause era, you had to be careful about that. Because if you got injured, you're done. Yeah. See, Pete Rose could play with a certain amount of aggressiveness because he had a contract.
All right, whatever.
That went multiple years at least.
Oh, Ray Fossey, your ass, boy.
Oof, boy, oh boy. I bet Ray Fossey.
He's still
hurt. I bet Ray Fossey's parents.
Still putting Ben Gay on that.
His brothers, that sisters, children. I bet they all felt that hit.
God. Man, they felt that hit in the other dugout.
In an all-star game.
That was you're right. When winning meant something, even when it doesn't mean anything. As opposed to like the Pro Bowl.
So anyway.
Where it's like a touch game.
If you're a baseball fan and you don't know much about Wagner.
One of the first five in the
one of the first five. The first class, yes. The first classified. Mathewson, Ruth, Cobb, Wagner.
Mathewson, Walter Johnson.
Walter Johnson. There you go. 1885, we were just talking about his death the other day, the birth of the great American Admiral, Chester Nimitz. So I saw this. Texas doesn't miss a round when it comes to naming their high schools.
Uh-oh.
There's a Nimitz High School.
I figured. I bet there's a Halsey High School, too.
There could be. Yeah,
I don't think Halsey's from Texas.
In 1938, Phil Knight, the great
Hiroshima
American
High School
businessman. The founder of Nike.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Stock's not doing that great.
Nike's kind of in a sort of a lull.
I met this next guy. Right. He's not really
I
nice,
have too.
Really nice guy.
Edward James Olmos, born in 1947. I met him at a buffet at a hotel in Carson, California.
I met him when he was on Miami Vice.
Oh, that was
a
good role.
Right by my apartment.
That was a good role.
Yeah, and I met.
They were filming by your apartment down there.
No, yeah, that's by because every once in a while you like there's like exploded stuff like laying around in the streets or a burnt script, you know, that blew up too. And I think somehow I got.
What was
in.
His breakout movie though? Stand By Me.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I got in because somebody's bodyguard was a friend, and he was a really nice guy, and the other guy, the black guy, was really cool. Tubbs.
So Tubbs is the character. Michael
Johnson was. Don Johnson was. Was it? Who? What was he?
Tubbs and Crockett.
Crockett, right? He was Crockett, right?
Sonny Crockett.
Yeah.
They blew up that white Lamborghini.
Yeah,
or
they blew up,
Ferrari.
They blew up everything,
the white
man.
Ferrari. Oh God!
But he was kind of. We couldn't get near John Johnson, but
Don Johnson.
Tubbs was cool, and this guy was really nice.
Almost was kind of born to play one of the like the
like a villain, really.
The sergeant or the detective. God, he is such a good look.
He should have played Sosa in Scarface.
Yeah, he could have. Who else here? 1950, George Thorogood.
I've seen him in a concert at Capistrano.
I worked for a classic rock station as an intern in college, and Thorogood was always one of the sort of go-tos to bring into town.
He's
for
pretty
a,
good.
And George, is a lot better than just bad to the bone, by the way.
No, he's, well.
The Delaware, that group They can play some real rock and roll.
A whiskey, a beer,
one
two,
bourbon.
One bourbon, one
whiskey.
How's it go?
One bourbon, one. One,
one beer, right?
It's a great song.
He
and the Delaware Destroyers, that's a great rock and roll band. 1955.
Wait a minute, I got, who you got? You missed a pretty big one.
Who?
1934, Bettino Craxi.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him.
Young Cattle. Okay. Italian, man.
Yeah, well,
you never heard of this guy?
Cattle. No. Bettino Craxi.
Craxi, yeah. This guy was a socialist jerk, but Italy, they all are.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Armand, I think this will amaze you. I don't spend a lot of time researching socialist jerks.
Well, you should know something about Italian politicians. The
oh,
guy
God.
Was, you know,
what
Prime
do I want
Minister.
To know? I follow the life of Silvio Berlusconi. That's all I need
well,
to know.
Well, this guy was that's good buddies with him.
Okay.
And the Achille Lauro, remember that?
Oh, they dumped Leon Klinghoffer right off the
Well,
oh,
they wanted to extradite
God.
Those guys, and this guy interfered and wouldn't let them. That was a big tohu-bohu. And then the Libya attack was launched on while he was, you know, Prime Minister. But basically, the guy, I like this guy because at least here's his defense because, you know, he was accused of taking bribes, and he did. And he said, well, here's his defense. Everybody does it, which is true.
Not a great defense,
but yeah,
even if you do state a fact.
So he thought, I'm probably going to be found guilty. That defense probably is going to work. So he flees to Tunisia and gets the hell out of there, takes his mistress with him. Who's a pretty good-looking gal, as I recall.
They all
but
are.
But he had this entourage,
what
apparently.
Did Berlusconi used to do? Didn't he have all the teenagers over to the hot tub?
No, he had all those, that and all those black gals. They
oh,
used
that's
to play
your
Bunga
game.
Bunga.
Bunga Bunga.
Yeah.
That's your game.
Right, naked in the pool.
Jeez.
But this guy had his own entourage, and they called them midgets and dancers.
Oh, my.
So it gives you an idea of what Italian politics is like.
Well, you're probably like to get over there.
Berlusconi came next.
What soccer team did he own?
Who, Berlusconi?
Yeah.
Juventus.
Close. AC Milan. Just
yes.
Torino to Milan. Not too far away. Right. 1955, the founder of Apple and Pixar, Steve Jobs.
You know, I don't know anything about computers, but I got to say, this guy, Henry Ford, I'm going to put him in that, you know, in that group.
Boy, you talk to the tech people, though, they hate this guy.
Well, most of the people say he wasn't a tech-savvy guy.
He's not.
He's a marketer, which is even more genius, if you ask me.
And they'll call him a thief. I don't know what.
I like him even more. That means he's a capitalist.
I don't really know what to make of him other than.
All right, then we'll put him in with.
I will say this. He had vision, and he executed his vision.
I still haven't read that book on. I guess I ought to read that
My
book.
My son bought Jacobson. It for me. Walter Jacobson, who also.
Is it good?
I've not read this one yet, but he wrote Ben Franklin. He wrote an Einstein biography that's terrific. There's one other by Jacobson that I've read, and I'm just drawing a blank for the moment. Anyway, if you want to read it, the Walter Jacobson biography of Jobs, I haven't read it yet. You haven't read it yet. Well, they based the movie off
right,
of it.
Right, but I don't want to see it.
Don't even bother.
Who played him?
Don't even bother.
Who played him?
I don't
remember.
I don't remember. I couldn't watch it. It was
really?
I thought it was bad.
Wow.
That's just what I thought. The go to thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, click on the Amazon banner on our website, and go get yourself a copy.
Well, this guy would be more like Edison than
Steve
Jobs.
I think he is.
I don't know.
I think he took a page right out of Edison's playbook to a degree. 1968, the birth of a great comic who sadly passed away in 2005, Mitch Hedberg. You don't know him?
Nope.
I'm sure you've heard some of his stuff.
Maybe. I don't know.
He had a great theory about Bigfoot.
Oh, is that the one you always quote? I think you've what was it?
Maybe he's just blurry.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Oh boy. Well, I'll check it out. That's not bad.
Why are all the pictures of Bigfoot blurry?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just blurry.
That's a good point.
All right, that's the birthday.
Sasquatch, right?
Sasquatch. They thought they this lady and two kids. You know where Lake Arrowhead is up in the San Gabriels?
Right.
There's been a fairly substantial sighting up there.
Oh, yeah?
In the last couple weeks, yeah.
See, you don't hear that stuff on CNN
no,
or
you
Fox.
Don't. No, you don't.
Where
but that's they
good
used to,
news.
They filmed a lot of stuff up there in the Lake Arrowhead area.
Did you ever see that movie? Didn't they make one, Sasquatch or something? It was horrible.
Oh, I bet it
funny
was.
Funny in the 70s.
I bet it was.
So bad.
Again, for me, the high water mark of the 70s, the Bionic Man Sasquatch episode.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They had
just
that.
Just fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't get more 70s than that.
That was cool.
All right. Back to the events, a couple more. Now, this one, basically, Steven Spielberg based a film on and tried to turn it into a comedy.
Flop, yeah.
And it flopped. The film was 1941.
Yeah, which is the wrong date anyway.
Wrong date.
Yeah.
But on February 24th, 1942, so you're 2 months and about 2 weeks outside of Pearl Harbor happening.
Yeah.
A false alarm goes off in the city of Los Angeles, leading to an anti-aircraft barrage that lasts from the evening into the early hours of the next morning.
Right.
It's called the Battle of L.A., where they shot nothing.
Well, I met in UFOs. That's the theory. But it weren't Japs. Let's just put it that way. But this is kind of hysteria that built on itself, because the day before, the Japanese actually did shell Elwood, which is by Santa Barbara. So everybody
up the coast. But that's a submarine.
Yeah, but everybody's still a little, you know, it's a little shaky. Hey, they're attacking. That makes me a prelude.
I understand.
So anyway, somebody thought they saw some planes. They shot at them, and then the shells made, and then everything. Well, look at the smoke and the shells. So those have got to be planes. And it just kind of built on itself. So they're firing anti-aircraft and everything else. And I think it was a weather balloon, maybe.
That seems like such an L.A. thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
To do. Even back then.
Not now, though. Everybody would just, they
just
run away.
No, they just go to Starbucks.
Yeah, they got to work on their scripts. Leave me alone. They got their headphones
on.
They wouldn't even
hear it. As much as I love Los Angeles.
You love Los Angeles?
I do. Ugh. I do. You know what? One of the things, well, I get to leave.
Who could love? Yeah.
Okay.
I lived there 11 years.
That's part of the reason, right? But I am fascinated by the indifference of Angelenos to some things. Fascinated by the indifference. Yet, if you are from another state driving in Los Angeles and you don't know how to make an LA left, you could get your life taken.
Oh, Well, I'll tell you, those freeways, man, they're crazy. I remember taking my buddy to the beach, and we went. He didn't have a swimming suit, so he went to buy one. This is by Hermosa or Manhattan, I don't know where. And we go into the swim shop.
Yeah.
And there's this gal, and she made 17, 16 at the counter, and he needs help because he's a dumb shit. And he doesn't know the first thing. She didn't move. I said, Jack, that's not what she's here for. Okay, we'll be lucky if she takes our money. This is L.A., man. Nobody works. God. And she didn't. She didn't even stir. It's like we were.
Did
almost...
she even deign to look at you?
No, fuck no. She was doing something, man. Like, I mean, to get her attention to pay for it was
work.
Oh man, it was like climbing the Matterhorn. Hey, we're ready to go here.
And yet, In-N-Out Burger will get you in and out of there in no time.
They do all right. Yeah, I like that. Man, I forgot. It's been so long since I've been. I forgot the burrito place.
I promise I'll try your fat burger too.
Well, I like,
but
fat,
I haven't been for about a month or so. Okay,
well, I got to go back. I haven't been there in a long time.
1944. This is a great one, and you can read a lot about it. Merrill's Marauders. The Marauders begin their 1,000-mile journey through
the movie.
Japanese occupied Burma. Operation Burma.
Yeah, Objective Burma.
Not
that movie. You got to watch Merrill's Marauders.
Merrill's Marauders.
With
anything about Merrill and anything about Vinegar Joe Stillwell, I highly recommend.
No, I'd read Tuckman's book, Stillwell and the American Experience in China, which I read when I was in high school.
Okay.
It's a good book. Yeah. But anyway, Merrill's Marauders, the movie, actually, the guy who starred in it, Jeff Chandler.
How did he get the role?
Yeah, well, you know, he looks like me, kind of. I've been compared to him. Izzy something's his real name. It's not Jeff Chandler.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, the interesting thing about this, he's making the movie, right? And he injured his back, I think, during the movie. Mm. And they put him on the operating table. They had to operate him. And somebody cut an artery or whatever. And they needed 60 pints of blood for this guy. And he still died. He exsanguinated. Yep, it killed him. Merrill's Marauders. That was Jeff's last movie. Pretty good actor, too. I liked him.
Boy, what do you think that did?
He was a good coachies.
What do you think that did for studio insurance rates?
Yeah, it happens, man. God. But we won the war, so that's what really counts. These guys are like the predecessors to the Rangers
and
now.
And SEALs, yes.
Pretty rough bunch.
I mean, this
But a lot of them, you know, they had the dead-end kids. Remember them? They were convicts. You can go free. They took them out of stockade. If you join up Merrill's Marauders. So it kind of had a little of a touch
of the Dirty Dozen.
Or Devil's Brigade.
Devil's Brigade, another one. Yeah. Inglourious Bastards.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Man wants to die for his country. Indulge him.
Oblige him.
Oblige him. Thank you. I knew you'd get that one.
Oblige him.
Bear Juden. Oh, Teddy with ball game hits another one out of the park.
To me, honestly, the best use of ballistic gelatin I've ever seen in a movie scene.
Which one?
Because usually they cut away from taking a baseball bat to a guy's head.
Oh.
And instead they have the whole ballistic gelatin dummy done up as the character.
Oh, okay.
So when Quentin Tarantino cuts to that scene, and he and I forget the actor's name who strikes the mannequin in the head.
Yeah.
But you can see the whole body quiver because all the gelatin does a shake as that thing. It's incredible. I imagine it's pretty realistic.
That was the German guy that went, fuck you.
Fuck, yes.
He spoke very good.
Yes.
Speaks excellent German. You Schweinhund? Groucho. Our friend Sig Ruman.
Schwein.
Speaks excellent German.
Schweinhund.
Pig dog.
All right. Well, speaking of...
All right.
Speaking of guys who sympathized with Germany, here's one. 1946. This is the date that Colonel Juan Perón.
He was more of a Mussolini fan.
Was he? He was a fascist, though.
He was a corporatist.
Corporate fascist or a corporatist?
Which is basically fascism.
Yeah. Okay. So Colonel Juan Perón elected to his first term as president of Argentina.
There would be three. His wife, Eva, or Evita, of course. We've talked about her.
I can tell you the first time I was in Buenos Aires, you go down. I think it's...
you love that place, didn't you?
I do. I love Buenos Aires. What a city. God, what a city. Avenida de Julio... I think it's the Avenue of July 9th. And boy, you turn that corner, and there's that big mural on the side of a building of Eva.
Evita?
And you're like, God bless, I am in Argentina.
She's a good-looking woman, man. Isabel wasn't bad either. She took over for him, three terms, for only three-term president of Argentina. Pretty much a dictator, you know what I mean?
Well, yes, he is. Okay, 1980. This is a great trivia question, Armand. You will get the answer right.
Well, yeah, it's because they always ask.
But I'm going to phrase the question like this. The Miracle on Ice is completed when the United States wins 4-2 to win the gold medal.
See, I don't know if that's technically the Miracle on Ice.
Who did they defeat?
Yeah.
Well, the Miracle on Ice, if you call
it. Beat the Finns, but yeah.
Right.
The Miracle on Ice was beating the Soviets.
Is this the Soviets. Yeah. That is the semifinal.
Right. This was the anticlimax on ice.
And this is the one where Herb Brooks gives the impassioned speech because they still need to go out and do it in the second and third periods.
It's kind of easy to be flat.
He told the team, if you don't win this, you'll remember this every day for the rest of your life. The rest of your fucking life!
Yeah, it's like me not winning that $1 million. I don't remember winning the $500,000.
You just think of the $500,000.
Blowing that five.
See, isn't that horrible?
That's human nature,
you
boy.
Consider that you think you lost a $500,000 instead
that's
of winning
correct,
a million.
Because I should have got
you
that.
You talk about glass half question. Empty.
That's,
come on.
That's right, man.
1989, the Ayatollah
Ruhollah
Khomeini.
Good name.
Now,
kind of a jerk.
I got a lot to talk about on this one. Issues a fatwa.
Fatwa.
He offers $3 million to anybody who will kill the author of the Satanic Verses, Salman Rushdie.
You know, I'll tell you what. I'd offer
$3
to anybody who can finish that stupid book because it was terrible.
I bought it. I got through about two chapters. Now, granted, I bought it.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I had no idea. First of all, the main character falls out of an airplane in like the opening sequence to Earth.
I don't remember.
Okay.
It was
now that Rushdie's written really highly reviewed literature.
Yeah, better stuff than this.
Midnight's Children.
Yeah, right. That's his big one.
Is it?
I guess I haven't read that.
Something
read
either, is it? Zanzibar the Clown. Something the Clown. That's another. He's got a new one out as well.
Oh, yeah?
But I digress.
What's he doing still alive?
Here's what he's doing still alive. He and Larry David hooked up and did a couple episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm in the past season because Larry David writes Fatwa, the musical, for Juan Manuel Miranda to produce, the guy who did Hamilton. And the Fatwa is going to be about the Fatwa on Salman Rushdie. So in the course of writing the musical and getting permission from the clerics to do the musical, Larry, of course, does something completely insensitive, and he winds up having a fatwa issued on him himself. Okay? Mm-hmm. You following me?
Yeah.
Because you're the script guy. So eventually he has nowhere else to turn, so he has to call Salman Rushdie and ask him, how do I live with this fatwa?
He goes over to Rushdie's house, and Rushdie says, oh, we go to lunch, and I'm going to show you something. He goes, you don't know it, but you're now one of the most sexiest men alive. You have a fatwa on you. You're going to have fatwa sex.
Ooh.
So they go into a bar, and of course, the ladies immediately recognize him, and they know from the news, and they're like, oh, my God, you're so brave.
Oh, all right.
And he hooks up with Elizabeth Banks.
Okay. I want a fatwa.
Yeah. I can get a fatwa issued on you.
Yeah, probably. Anybody listens to this show.
Give me to 3 o'clock. I'll have a fatwa issued on your ass. Right. By the way, speaking of fatwas, and I know you don't like PBS, but you should watch Bitter Rivals on Frontline, which just came out this week, about the history of the Iranian-Saudi rivalry.
The Iranians won.
I'm only through the first 4 parts. It's a big one. It's like 2 hours long with more to come.
Yeah, it's Shia Sunni.
Boy, it goes back into the 30s and explains it explains Wahhabism. It explains a whole bunch of stuff. It is highly educational. It's more and Armand, please check this out. You will, and because it gets into Lebanon, it gets into the formation of Hezbollah.
Oh yeah, that's
all
Iranian.
Sorts of stuff, and it's fascinating. And it's not a rip up piece on the U.S. either. Okay,
what about Trump?
No.
They don't even mention Trump.
No, there's no need. He hasn't done anything.
That's the way we like it.
Doesn't it done anything? Matter of fact, in what I've seen so far, it really focuses on Jimmy Carter and the Carter administration policies, like housing the Shah.
Yeah.
That
Camp David.
It's very good. Speaking of Saudis, in 1991,
hey, Billy Graham died.
He did.
That's. Remember Don Rickles? He helped me to walk. I could always walk, but I can walk faster.
Faster.
Yeah.
Billy, I've been meaning to ask you about this hand. The president's inauguration. He does that joke.
It's Don Rickles, man.
Because that joke has layers to it. And once you peel back the layers and actually understand what Don's asking, it's hilarious. Even more hilarious.
Okay. Well, Don's hilarious.
Do I have to explain it to you, Armand?
I don't want
to
know.
Okay, good.
All right.
1991, this is the date that U.S. troops on the ground in Saudi Arabia crossed the border, entering Iraq, thus beginning the ground phase.
So I guess this is Desert Storm, right?
Of Desert Storm.
Not Desert Shield.
Right. The air phase had already been going on, softening up Iraqi positions. They go over the embankments. And there were sand embankments.
Yes, they had ramparts.
Right, the ramparts. And they head into Iraq.
Okay. What happens next?
1991. What happens next?
Yes.
They win. Schwarzkopf sits in a jeep and calls home and goes, we can go right into Baghdad right now and end this all.
No, don't do that. And UN didn't say we can do that.
Yeah, and George Bush, H.W., says,
H.W.,
says no.
Nope.
And I always wondered if that was a huge mistake not to let Schwarzkopf just do it all right then.
The huge mistake, in my opinion, not even the second invasion, it was like making a democracy of the place. You don't like Hussein, get him out of there. Then get the hell out of the country.
Yeah, where's the United States get off? First of all, Iran elects a democratically elected guy in the 1950s. That's no good. So they reinstall the dictator. The U.S. does.
Mossadegh. Well, they got rid of Mossadegh.
They reinstall the Shah. The
Pahlavi.
Pahlavi.
Yeah. That's what the CIA does.
So they backed Zia in Pakistan.
Yeah, Zia. Yeah.
Okay. What? They're fine with dictators. Now all of a sudden they got to be a nation builders.
Well, how many times have we talked about this hypocrisy of the Russians trying to interfere with our election? That's what we do. They took that page from our playbook.
Again, watch Putin's revenge.
Well, on not doing anything we haven't done.
It's fascinating.
I don't know if he does it better, though. I mean, we're pretty good at it.
No, we're good.
Yeah. I don't think he's that much of a genius. We're pretty. But they only spent like how many million? How many ads did that get you on
Facebook? He did it on a budget.
Yeah.
He did it on
a
budget.
It's not big on Facebook, isn't it? How much?
Couldn't get an ad for a business we were running in Mexico on Facebook, yet he's able to get any.
Sure.
Yeah.
You don't have his juice, man.
Apparently not. Apparently
drag.
Not. All right. Who died
on
this? You
look as good on a horse with your shirt off. Whew.
That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Sexy guy. All right. 1810, Henry Cavendish.
Yes, here's our deaths today as we wind things up.
You don't
1810.
Have him. I added him.
Henry Cavendish.
I like this guy because Well, first of all, he's a genius, and a lot of these laws, like Newton's—I mean, not Newton's laws, but he did find the gravitational constant, which was in Newton's, in his laws of gravitation.
What is the constant?
Well, I don't know exactly what the number is, but it's, you know, it's c times how does it go from the distance between mass one and mass two over the gravitational constant, I guess. Anyway,
but if I drop your phone in your big jug of water. Okay.
Yeah.
They fall at the exact same.
That's right.
The fact that the jug's heavier than the phone.
No, mass has nothing to do with that.
Right. Yeah.
That was Galileo proved that. But this guy.
Okay. That's Galileo.
Yeah. All that's right. When he climbed the Tower of Pisa and dropped the,
Well, that's why they had to have the tower crooked.
Yeah. So he could get up.
Get
there.
A plumb line straight to the. Yeah.
So anyway, Henry Cavendish apparently, Ohm's Law, Dalton's law of partial pressures, Coulomb's law, all these laws he had already come up with when they found his papers. Here's his problem. The guy probably had Asperger's, and he was so shy, he didn't want to publish anything and then go to these, physics meetings and shit.
He didn't want to go peer review.
In fact, apparently he had to pad around his own house because he was so afraid of his own female servants. He had like a staircase in the back so he wouldn't have to face them.
Boy, he really had an anxiety disorder.
He was also the richest man in England for a while.
No kidding.
So he wasn't that stupid.
Better than the
biggest depositor in the Bank of England.
Had the Queen and the King beat, huh?
Well, I don't know about that, but a biggest depositor in Bank of England. So you're anybody,
right. Yeah, the Queen can just say, that's my money.
She was too smart to put her money in that thing. But anyway, this guy, Henry Cavendish, brilliant chemist, physicist.
Where do you think the Queen keeps her money?
In a stuffed corgi. Let's see.
That's why they have so many of those Welsh corgis.
I wouldn't leave them around. Hell, that one guy got in her bedroom. Shit, so it's not that secure in Buckingham. But what else am I going to say? Oh, he discovered hydrogen.
Well, that's
pretty big.
That's big.
Yeah.
That is
Henry
big.
Cavendish, 1810, he died.
All right. Armand, I only have three today. Okay. So.
Well, I got Robert Fulton. I don't know why you left him out. I mean,
steam engine.
Yeah. You know how he died?
Giant kiln explosion?
No, buddy. No, that was Fran Lebowitz.
Fran Lebowitz.
Was it Fran Lebowitz?
It was Fran because her roommate's name was?
Yeah, you always ask me.
Shelley Dubinsky.
Yeah, very good. Very nice. No, he's walking on ice-covered Hudson, and his friend fell through.
And he tried to save him.
Save his friend. He did. He got pneumonia and died. So, heroic death.
And that's why a lot of counties are Fulton. They're named after
Claremont. Yeah. But the British liked him, too. He went to the British. He first torpedo. Also, this thing, I never heard of this, the Damalagos, which was technically the first steam warship.
Oh.
Basically just a platform with a gun on it.
Yeah,
but it was steam powered.
Gun deck, yeah.
Yep. Okay. So there's Robert Fulton.
All right.
1941. I don't know why he didn't Bobby Moore.
Death?
Is that his birth? No, I guess.
That'd be his birth. Huh? We're in death now.
Why come you put him in births then?
Bobby Moore? A lot of our audience probably doesn't know who Bobby Moore is, but I will say.
So is he still alive?
No, he died.
Well, maybe it is his death then. Not 1941.
No. He captained England to victory in the World Cup in 1966.
Yeah.
And played for
West Ham.
West Ham,
right?
United. I have a Bobby Moore t-shirt from my visit to West Ham. And at the West Ham United, their old ground, which Armand was the Boleyn ground at Upton Park.
The what ground?
The Boleyn ground.
What the hell is that? How do you spell it?
Boleyn.
Oh, Anne Boleyn. Oh, okay.
Well, it was named for the.
Yeah, well, that family.
That family. They had the Bobby Moore.
No, he died February 24th, 1993.
Yeah. They had the Bobby Moore stand, which was called the Chicken Run.
Well, I can imagine he's pretty popular up
there. And great
captain of the
great player. In soccer you have defenders and midfield. This guy was your all encompassing player.
Was he a fullback or something?
No,
what did he play?
Midfield.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he could score. Could play the defense. He was
Charlton on that team too?
Yeah.
Both of them.
Bobby was. I don't know if Jack was.
All right.
Because Bobby was Manchester United player. Jeff Hurst is the one who scores the go-ahead goal in the final against Germany that may or may not have went in.
Gordon Banks.
Gordon Banks, the great keeper.
They'll never win another one, so live it up.
I do not think they will.
Not this year.
Not as England. The only way they could possibly win one is to play the World Cup as Great Britain.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I don't think so. Because I'll tell you, why they didn't follow it up in 70? I mean, Brazil was very good.
Yeah.
But George Best, Dennis, all these other, they were Northern Irish and Scottish. The best player from Great Britain today, Gareth Bale, is Welsh. So he doesn't play for England.
Wales has a team?
Yes. All four home countries.
I know Scotland does.
All four home countries have their own teams in FIFA. Oh. So it's England, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland.
Okay.
Now, if you combined them all, you could have a hell of a team. But they don't, because you know why? They want the four votes in the FIFA Council.
Okay. That makes sense to me, too.
Yeah. And did they get the World Cup that they were after? No.
They lost it to
Qatar. Yeah.
Well, Qatar.
Qatar. Whatever.
Well, they got oil.
Yeah.
That trumps.
Yeah, they got oil. They do. All right. My three defs. 1990, Malcolm Forbes.
I know Steve Forbes. I know Malcolm, I guess, the old man.
He was amazing.
Was he? What did
yes.
he do?
So he dated Liz Taylor.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Remember he rented Disney World after hours and took Liz on a date.
When was this?
1980s.
On the 80s. So yeah. that would have been after Warner, I guess. She divorced Warner in 76.
So. I don't know if they weren't married, but they were dating.
Right.
We
got Nicky Hilton.
Conrad, Nicky Hilton.
Todd. Mike Todd.
Mm-hmm. Burton.
Richard twice. That counts.
Fortensky.
Warner.
Mm-hmm. You're up to five.
Who are we missing?
I don't know.
Oh, didn't she make Eddie Fisher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's six.
That's why Debbie Reynolds don't like her.
Yeah. Well, they're both dead now, yeah. So hopefully
rest in peace.
Yes. Hopefully.
Anyway, Forbes rented out all Disney, and so the employees were still there. And then they said, and people who saw it said the two ran.
I think Steve Forbes would have made a good president, to tell you the truth.
He could have, maybe. Yeah. The two of them, who were in their 60s or at least their 60s at that point, ran from ride to ride like kids.
Okay.
Pretty cool. 1994, Dinosaur passes away. Someone's cooking with Dinah.
I like her singing Buttons and Bows. She has a pretty good rendition of that.
Yeah. One of the, you know what? I'm gonna.
Wasn't Burt Reynolds screwing her?
Well, I was just going to mention, I credit Dinah with being the first MILF. Or at least Cougar. Because, again, I've told you this before. As a kid, you know, my grandma would be watching the Dinah Shore show when I got home from school. You know, and she's, you know.
Thought she was good looking?
I thought she was pretty, but not pretty like Farrah Fawcett.
No, not pretty like Catwoman.
No, like Eartha Kitt or
Julie Newmar.
No.
Or Yvonne Craig, Batgirl.
But then when Bert would come on that Dinah Shore show, and even as a kid, I would be uncomfortable. I'd be like, something's wrong here.
Man, something's going on there.
Something's not right.
Doris Day is the last one.
And then finally in 2006.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Man. Okay. Now, one of the first movies that my parents would take me to religiously, because they would show it every summer at the drive-in. And I mean the drive-in.
Incredible Mr. Limpet.
The Apple Dumpling Gang.
Oh, yeah. Tim Conway.
Which had him and Tim Conway. Don Knotts passed away in 2006.
Boy, Cannonball Run 2 is the only movie you could make Don Knotts and Tim Conway not funny.
Not funny!
They were horrible. What the hell, man?
You talk about a swing and a miss.
I would have told Tim Conway, do your elephant joke or something.
Do anything.
They're playing
elephant.
With the chimp. Yeah. Yeah, that do that bit.
But
Don Knotts was the best in Mad Mad World with Dr.
When,
Zillman.
When Phil Silvers.
When
Phil Silvers winds him up at the gas station.
Yeah, that's great.
And he runs around like a dog.
Yeah. Don't go that way. They'll see you. That's mad. I don't think I want to get you. Will you shut up?
I will still watch the Andy Griffith Show to this day when it comes on in the morning.
Yeah, it's good.
Because Don, he just, you know, especially that.
Yeah, Thelma Lou.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
That draw in of the, you know.
Chinless.
That draw in and that hitch up the belt. What a move.
You could see inspiration.
What a move.
Anyway, one bullet. Barney, take out your bullet. things are getting pretty involved. Yeah, he's something, man. And he was pretty good on Three's Company, too.
Well,
Mr. Farley?
I got to tell you. To replace the guy, Mr.
Norman
Roper.
Fell and that other gal. She was pretty good.
Fell, who had been in the original Ocean's 11.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was also in Mad Mad World, too.
Yes.
He's the one they found Jimmy Durante.
Yes.
He goes, yep. She's dead. He just looks at him. Yep.
What I want to say? Oh, yeah. Yeah, but Furley, you can't do it today, but the whole bit where John Ritter as Tripper.
I like Larry too. He's pretty good.
That's Stephen. That's Steve Klein's kid. Robert Klein's kid.
Yeah, it looks like him. Yeah,
that's his son. Yeah,
I saw him and Wayne Rogers in a Jerry's Deli once. Yeah, they're right next to me. I looked over. Hey, I know those guys. Yeah, they were having lunch together.
Getting a Reuben, were they?
I jumped in. You know, hey guys.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay. Get away from me.
Who else did I see? I saw Patrick Stewart in Jerry's Deli. You see a lot of people.
Did you ever go to Nate's a lot?
Nate's. Which one's that?
Nate's Delicatessen.
Where is it?
It's in Beverly Hills.
Oh, is it? There's only one? Because I mean, Jerry's all over the place.
Yeah, Jerry's.
This is the one on Ventura. The other one's a good one. Is the one on La Cienega. Oh shit. Nice Jewish name. Langer's is good, though.
I have not been to Langer's.
7th and Alvarado, man. That place is really good.
I usually go to Porto's, the Cuban bakery. Oh, God, it's so good. They got a couple locations, but anyway.
Well, anyway.
From Don Knotts to Porto's.
Yeah, we're talking about Three's Company.
Well, that was up in Santa Barbara, wasn't it?
I guess so, yeah. They were in L.A. Yeah.
But, man, God, he was so good.
Suzanne Summers still looking good.
Yeah, she is. She got that thigh master.
Nice butt. Apparently, on that show, I remember reading about it.
No, she's only on for like
one
season.
Not too many because
she did the Farrah Fawcett almost one and done. You know what her first name is on the show?
That's right, Christmas, right?
Christmas Snow.
Yeah,
that's her.
They call her Chrissy, but
yeah, Chrissy. Now,
apparently, she's kind of a good girl, and the person she played wasn't that dumb ditz.
Oh no, Suzanne played
Joyce DeWitt was supposedly the ditzy slut. In real life.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She was wild.
I thought Joyce had a little something
she
going
crazy,
on.
Man, supposedly.
I thought she had a little freak flag. You could tell.
Yeah, you could tell, man.
Well, but Summers was also a Bond girl, so.
She was? Now,
yeah, she was.
Which one?
One of the early, like, seven, somewhere.
Suzanne Summers?
Yeah, she was in Bond movie, yeah.
Well, I can't think of which one it would be.
Yeah. Roger Moore won, maybe the third one Roger Moore did.
Spy Who Loved Me?
Could be, yeah. They're in the south of France.
Which one was that?
Now, she's one who did not disappoint in Playboy, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like a bunch of the other ones, like Barb Reden did, and Christy Brinkley, and Raquel Welch, all just
full
teases.
Money, huh?
Oh, Suzanne?
Did you see the mustache, too?
I don't remember. I'd have to go look that up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That'll do it. Yeah. February 24th is in the books.
I'm aroused, I gotta get out.
Armand has some work to do now.
Yes, I got to my office. Don't
thank you
there.
For tuning in. Armand Kachigi and Tony Hubert, Andrew Allen, our producer. Don't forget when February 25th rolls around, we will be here to tell you about it at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.